Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to NIIT Limited Q2 FY16 Investors Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us for the Q2 investor call. I have with me Rahul Patwardhan, who's the CEO, his team consisting of CFO Rohit Gupta, Kapil Saurabh, Uday Singh, Shivan Bhargava, Sapnesh Lalla, as well as Mr. P. Rajendran and Rajendra Pawar, who's the chairman of the company, joining us on this call. I would now hand you over to Rahul Patwardhan to take us through the Q2 highlights, and then we would open it up for Q&A.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good to have all of you on this call. I'm pleased to report that we are moving forward on our plan that we laid out post the restructuring in Q4, on course. NIIT's growth and profitability continues to move up steadily on the back of continued strong performance of the Corporate Learning Group and the re-energization of the Skills and Career Group. In addition, we have kicked off the renewal phase of the transformation that I had talked about last quarter for SCG or the Skills and Career Group with the launch of StackRoute and NIIT TV, which will provide the platform for acceleration of growth in the future. In parallel, we've also been working on strengthening the management capability of the company to support the scaling of the growth in the future. I'll take you through some highlights of the NIIT performance overall, and then a little bit about each of the businesses, and then I'll hand it over to you for question and answer. NIIT overall has grown 5% year-on-year in this quarter. We have had a 13% YOY growth in revenue for the go-forward business. If you exclude the government schools business and some international geographies that we had told you that we'll be exiting, then the overall NIIT growth is actually 13% year-on-year, which is quite healthy. Our EBITDA is now 9% for Q2, and this is an improvement of 230 basis points YOY. Our PAT has grown 102% year-on-year to 208 million, which is also up about 33% compared to last quarter. Our overseas revenue, which is a combination of our CLG business in US and Europe and our business in China and emerging markets, is now 63% of the total portfolio of NIIT revenue compared to 59% last year, same quarter. Our DSO days are down to 86 days from 93 days end of last quarter. Our net debt is also down to 965 million as against 1053 million end of quarter one. And our operating ROC is also up to 10.1% compared to 4.5% last quarter. If you look at the CLG business, it's been rock steady in its consistency. We've had a 16% revenue growth year-on-year. Constant currency growth was 12%. Our EBITDA has also been very steady at 12%, all as anticipated and planned. Our MTS revenue has risen to 91% of the total revenue compared to 89% at the end of quarter one. We've added one significant new customer in MTS in this quarter, which is Citibank. But we've also had a number of other customers, seven other customers, who are all marquee customers who will potentially become MTS customers in the future. Our order intake has grown 15% YOY. Our pending order book has also grown 20% YOY. And our pipeline has strengthened considerably during this quarter, and Sapnesh could probably talk about this later. In the skills and career business, we've been able to demonstrate 1% growth in this business in this quarter. I do want to emphasize that we had some businesses in our international geographies which we've exited, which had substantial revenue as a one-off in the same quarter last year. So when you look at our go-forward revenue, we've actually grown 13% in the skills and career business. This is very significant for us. I think the ship has turned around. Back to growth has definitely happened. And when you compare that with minus 3% in quarter one and on an average minus 18% through last year, this is clearly something that we had laid out to achieve, and I can state with confidence that we have now turned the ship around. Our international business in SNC, which is China and emerging markets, these, if you recall, in the restructuring phase, we said that we had various issues which we dealt with, and I'm happy to report that the entire China plus emerging markets business is now growing well and is also profitable. Our EBITDA for the overall skills and career business is now 7% for this quarter. And last year, the same quarter, it was 3%. So again, on the back-to-profit direction, we have made good progress. Our order intake is up 6% YOY for this business. Very important for our India business in skills and careers, we have 300-plus business partners operational today. We had about near about 500 in the same quarter last year. In spite of bringing down the 500 rough centers to roughly around 300 this quarter, we've actually increased our revenue 9%, which basically demonstrates that our plan to re-energize and make every center into a multi-skilling center, which I talked about last quarter, has borne concrete results. Our beyond IT revenue has grown to 40% as against 39% end of quarter one, again supporting our strategy to diversify our portfolio and reduce our exposure to only IT training. StackRoot in NIT, StackRoot was launched in August. We were very successful in getting it oversubscribed. Our first batch is now full, but more important, we're getting tremendous traction from the corporate sector. As you can see from all the news articles, almost all the major IT services companies have a major challenge to retrain people with the digital skills. And I think we are well positioned as a company to step in, and StackRoot, in fact, is a very timely launch. Apart from that, we had NIT TV, which got launched. It's only 15 days since we launched, but I'm happy to report to you that we have registered users already from 82 countries as of a couple of hours ago, and we're getting traction almost every hour. Very early days, of course. This is going to provide a platform for growth in the future. I don't expect, in fact, right now our services are free on NIT TV, so we're not talking about any impact on the revenues in the next couple of quarters for sure. I'll stop here and open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you and congratulations on very good execution. My first question is on the CLG business. Talking about the deal that you announced, Citibank, just wanted to understand the implication or the significance of this deal. First, in terms of this deal positioning NIIT in the banking and financial space, and second, what sort of financial implication we can expect from this deal going forward.
Yeah, thanks, Abhishek. I'm asking Sapnesh, who's here sitting next to me, to answer this question. Sapnesh.
Hi. Citibank is our second major customer in the banking sector. Banking, financial services, and insurance is a key segment for us. Till about a couple of years ago, we had focused predominantly on insurance, and last year we made significant investments in sales and marketing specifically for the banking segment. Our first customer was Bank of America, and going forward with Citi, it boosts our confidence to ensure that there are more banks who are looking favorably at our services. This is also the first banking customer we have in EMEA. We started with Citibank in EMEA. I think time will tell how much we grow in Citi, but it's a very positive move for us.
To add, the Citi EMEA represents 54 countries. The current contract is in the space of strategic sourcing, which is one of the towers that we have in this service line. So since this is a strategic relationship, it is obviously our intent to deliver good services, expand our reach to cover entire EMEA, and hopefully with good quality service, be able to extend it beyond, and more important, also into other towers. So the potential, obviously, there is a lot of potential upside, but we have to deliver quality and gain trust, gain respect through actual delivery.
Thank you. That's helpful. Digging a little bit deeper into this deal, I know it's an managed service. It's not an order book, but if we have to compare this deal with the HSBC deal, which was announced a couple of years back, although I know this deal is specifically for the EMEA region, is there any parallels that we can draw in terms of the potential size that we could scale this this customer to?
There are very few things other than what you saw in the press release that we can actually talk about in public about this opportunity. It is significantly different from the HSBC deal in the sense that HSBC deal was a comprehensive outsourcing opportunity, whereas this is a single tower outsourcing opportunity. And over time, this deal has potential to grow.
All right. Now, more broadly on CLG, this quarter I was just trying to reconcile the revenue visibility number that we publish. The order intake this quarter was higher than the revenue. Plus, we have got Citibank, which I'm sure increases the revenue visibility to an extent. Still, the revenue visibility number is down from $200 million to $190 million. So how should we reconcile this?
Yeah. I think if you were to look at quarter one in context to quarter two and see quarter one as a quarter where we closed five managed services deals, compared to one this quarter, that really explains the choppiness. And that's just the nature of this business. There are some quarters where more organizations end up making these decisions compared to other quarters. I think you should look at it more from a broader perspective rather than a quarter-on-quarter perspective.
Okay. So from the full-year perspective, our basically view of achieving 15% growth for this year, that doesn't change?
Yeah, absolutely not. And in fact, with the orders that have come in quarter one and this order and our current view that we have of the pipeline, our confidence in achieving the number of 15% growth for the year has only gone up. So it solidified our confidence for that number.
Thanks. My last question is on the schools and skills and career group. This quarter, obviously, we saw, I think, 4 crores of a decline in operating expenses. I think when we did the restructuring, we talked about 25 crore full-year cost savings. So going forward, should we expect this kind of, on a YOY basis at least, this kind of decline in cost for the next 2 quarters?
Yeah, the cost savings that we promised as a result of restructuring are baked in the sense that they're bound to happen. Having said that, there is a product mix in the SNC segment. There are different components of the SNC business which have slightly different cost structures, and that can translate to slightly different numbers. So it is not something that you can draw directly. The other thing is also that we had a salary increase in quarter two, so we don't see the full impact actually of the cost restructuring.
Okay.
But most important, we have increased confidence in the back to growth, back to profit, since we have been able to get to that in this quarter. But keep in mind that quarter three, quarter four, traditionally in this business, are weaker quarters in terms of revenue because of seasonality. But we're still saying by the end of the year, we will be, this business overall will be back to growth, back to profit.
All right. Thank you. That is very helpful. And all the best for the future quarters.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ravi Menon from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. If I could ask you again about the Citi contract, I know that you'd already given us a lot of color about this. Just a clarification here. I thought that the BSC filing was done about mid-October. So is that, has that been counted towards the one, you know, the announcement of the deal for this quarter and also into the order intake?
Yeah, good question. The deal was actually signed in the last quarter, or the quarter two, which is September 30th actually was the day it was signed. But we only announced it because we had to get the appropriate permissions through the regulatory process within Citibank, so it took a few days for us to be able to announce it.
All right, great. Thank you.
The next question is on the line of Manik Taneja from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Congratulations to the management for good execution. My question was with regards to the Skills and Careers Group. If you could talk about the progress of the interventions that you've been making both with regards to converting some of the centers into multiple training centers. That's question number one. The second question essentially is that while one has seen an overall turnaround in terms of revenue growth for the skills and career segment, one has still continued to see a decline on the IT training side. If you could give us some outlook on both IT as well as beyond IT courses.
Yeah. I'll make a few comments and I'll ask Shivan Bhargav, who is on the phone also, to give his comments and views on this.
Sure.
Overall, we did say that the transformation process is a three-stage process. Stage one is perhaps the easiest of the lot, which is to do a cost restructuring. No doubt it had significant impact internally within NIIT, which should not be underestimated because it does have an impact on operations in the short run after restructuring. We completed that in Q4. Then we said we'll get into re-energizing. And in re-energizing, we said for the remaining centers and the remaining workforce, we now will try to push the efficiency improvement of the channel and our own centers through driving every product to every center and therefore generate revenue growth as well as improve profitability of each center operations and therefore the overall operation.
Sure.
We have been able to deliver concrete improvements on that. One metric, and I'll ask Shivan to talk about a few more. One concrete metric, which I mentioned earlier, was 9% absolute revenue growth of the business partner channel for this quarter, YOY, on a much smaller number of business partner centers. So that's a very clear indication that that strategy has delivered results. Shivan, would you like to add any more comments on the re-energizing metrics?
Sure, Pat. Just to answer the question on the multi-skilling centers, when we started this financial year and when we took this objective of converting most of our centers, all our centers into multi-skilling centers, we were at around 20%. Currently, those multi-skilling centers, we have ensured that the capability of all our centers to the extent of 60% of our centers can go ahead and sell all the range of our products. Mm-hmm. Now, that has enabled us to grow substantially as far as the channel partners are concerned. Channel partners, as Pat said, we have grown by 9% in this quarter, at the back of 7% growth in the previous quarter. So for both the quarters, channel partners have grown substantially. Within this, I think our BFSI portfolio has done very well and has benefited by making most of our channels as multi-skilling centers, where we have grown by 108% compared to last year on year. On the IT side, which was your second question, I can only go ahead and say we are seeing fresh revenues coming back very strongly. In our own centers where we normally monitor the fresh revenues, it has actually grown by 12% in this quarter.
Mm-hmm. If you could give us some sense in terms of is the launch of something like a stack route essentially drive or there is a demand for the older courses as well on the IT training side?
Okay, so let me give you a small snapshot on the same. Yes, StackRoute is going to give us the benefit. The entire IT industry is buoyant at this point in time. It is also buoyant towards the niche technologies and the reskilling areas that we have all heard in the newspapers and read in the newspapers. But at the same point in time, at the very base of the pyramid level, also the normal technology that we have been selling over a period of time, there also the growth we can go ahead and see, as it can be demonstrated by the fresh revenues growing at the rate of 12%. Simultaneously, we are also looking at launching products which are commensurate to today's environment. Let me inform you all that we have launched Python, Hadoop, and testing as our products over the last 30 days.
Sure. And while you guys do mention the growth rates or the improvement in the growth rates on the channel partner side, if you could give us some breakup of the revenues between our own centers and channel partners, that will essentially be helpful in understanding how each of the two segments are doing.
Yeah, at this point of time, we don't report separate numbers for these, but what I could give you one metric is that 18 of our own centers have also shown growth year on year. So even in our own centers, we are talking about a smaller number of centers from what we had last year, same quarter. And of them, of the operational centers that we have today, 18 of them, which is about 65% of our total centers, have actually shown growth. So I think there are many metrics which are indicating that the ship has turned around on all fronts. But order book, which had been weak because of the degrowth in the past, has kind of masked some of the actual growth that's happening in terms of fresh registration. So as we get into further quarters, we will start seeing improvements.
So Rahul, a longer term question, is there any indication in terms of outlook that now you would want to share for the Skills and Careers Group, say 2 years, 3 years down the line, what kind of a profitability level do you see for this segment?
Yeah. At this point of time, I'd like to repeat the statement that I made at the beginning of the year in May. We will bring this business back to growth, back to profit. Yes, I know we have already brought it back to growth, back to profit this quarter. Also, the strongest quarter of the year, as you know well, if you've been tracking us.
Yes.
At the end of the year, we are very confident that we will be able to report back to growth, back to profit for the whole year. That's one. Obviously, we're working to see how we can raise the growth numbers and the profit numbers. But the platforms that we put in place, StackRoot, NIT TV, and the whole range of new products that Shivan talked about, will provide strong platform for growth next year and beyond. And that's a renewal phase, which is a technology enablement and business model change of the Skills and Career business, and the product portfolio change will drive the future growth on top of the base, much more efficient operations that we have put in place over the last 6 months.
Sure. And the last question was on tax rates. Are there any potential losses that we are carrying for the business that we have exited, because of which we could continue to enjoy a lower tax rate going forward as well?
Yeah, I'm asking Rohit, our CFO, to answer this question.
Yeah, so for our tax rate, what you see is the consolidated position. We have taxation in different companies for our different subsidiaries. We do have tax losses in NIIT, which we will, utilize as far as this year is concerned. But some of the subsidiaries that we have outside of India do have taxable profits. So on an overall basis, our effective tax rate will remain in the same vicinity as we have seen in the past.
So our Q1 tax rate was about 30%, Q2 is about 15%. How should we look at the full year tax rate?
So our effective tax rate would be about 25%.
Sure. Thank you and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chetan Vaidya from GHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello sir, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Question is on NIIT TV. By which quarter and by which at what stage you will believe that it's time to start monetizing the initiative?
Yeah, good question. Monetization of NIIT TV will happen in a number of different ways. First, every single person who registers today on NIIT TV is an additional lead for our education and skills and career business. So there's an opportunity for us to start cross-selling and offering them products which we currently already have in our brick and mortar centers, both in a blended form or in the physical centers. What we are seeing is that we will have a much wider catchment in terms of our lead pool compared to what we traditionally have been able to have through the marketing efforts that we've been doing, both ATL as well as BTL as well as digital marketing. The numbers are growing very fast over the last 15 days. At this point of time, I don't want to disclose any numbers, but I can say that, as I mentioned before, we're already getting inquiries from all over the world, not just from India. So that's interesting statistic that I'd like to be able to report on maybe a couple of quarters down the line as these numbers build up. The second is that when the people come on to NIT TV as a portal and they taste the quality of our free services that we're currently offering, there will be a requirement for add-on services. For example, if I do a Java course and I learned everything, and now I want to get certified so that I can actually demonstrate that I have the skill to an employer, I need to get a certification for which I'll have to come and do a value-added service at an NIT center, and we have a partnership with Pearson View with a large number of training centers where we can offer that certification. Similarly, many of the people who would come onto the portal may also be looking for placement services or a number of other value-added services, so we intend to start monetizing these. This year, I would expect any contribution from this will be minimal. I don't plan to roll out any actual monetization offerings in this quarter for sure. But in terms of the first part of the opportunity, which is accessing a wider pool of people, that is something we will start monetizing immediately in terms of being able to offer paid products from our physical network centers to the new audience.
Sir, in a way, you are taking many initiatives to increase the number of intake for the skill and career group. So what kind of revenue should we be expecting from this NIT TV? What kind of expectations should we build up?
Yeah. I would strongly recommend that you don't project revenues definitely for this year or next, because the focus of this platform per se is to remain a free platform as an engagement platform. The spin-off benefit is difficult to quantify at this point of time. So at this point of time, I would recommend be conservative about any revenue projections that you might want to make about NIT TV.
On the cost front, you said it will be done from the existing resources. So is there any what are the total expenses that you'll be incurring before you start monetizing?
Yeah, that's a good question. Unlike a startup organization who would have to have built the entire platform, the infrastructure, the courses, including having to actually recruit faculty who have to deliver these courses or pay somebody to deliver these courses, we have all these in place already, because what we have done here is to take courses that are actually running, where faculty sitting in studios today in our physical centers are conducting courses that are being attended by students all over India already. All we've done here is redirect that content from the studio to the world at large or the virtual world through a portal. So the cost of building the portal is the only actual incremental cost that we've had. And this has been done really fast. From start to finish, this was done over 2 months. So the quantum we're talking about is not actually very large. But yes, we're going to have to keep spending a little bit of effort every day to increase the functionality and effectiveness of the portal. But compared to anybody else who's in this space, our costs will be very incremental.
Okay. And so my second question is, in the school learning group, we are exiting the government contract, but the IT-based revenue percentage from the quarter one has from 30% come down to 26%. Why is that so?
Yeah. So we've had the government contract for Andhra Pradesh and Telangana got over around July. And therefore, it's had an impact on the revenues for their schools business. That's been the primary reason for our drop in revenues in this quarter.
Sorry, the IP-based revenue was 30% of the school revenue in the quarter one. Now they are 26%. Now, if you are exiting the government contract and you are adding new schools, which I believe is are the IP-based revenue, then why that even the revenues are falling and the IP-based percentage is also falling?
Yeah, I understood your question now. Yes, this quarter has been a little muted for the schools business. As you know, we've gone through a transformation. We created a separate subsidiary. A lot of effort was gone into that. We're also in the process of finalizing the selection of a new business leader who will be coming on board hopefully very soon. There's also a strategy review of this business, given what we were trying to do with this business. So this quarter has been a little bit lower than what I would have liked it to be for this business. I'd like to be able to share, once the new business leader comes on board, the business direction. But clearly, this is also a quarter which is not very strong in this business for the private sector schools, because most decision-making in private sector schools happens in quarter one and quarter four. So I think the quarter that really matters going forward will be quarter four.
And so this is NIT.TV, that business, that initiative that we have taken, how will it complement our existing structure that we have?
Yeah. So right now, this is being run as a completely separate team, because we want to really ensure that we treat it like a startup organization, but leveraging all the investments that we have in our current brick-and-mortar business. We also had detailed discussions on the obvious question whether NIT TV will cannibalize our existing business at the brick-and-mortar centers. And everybody from the business partners as well as all our staff in all our centers are very clear that the impact will actually be incremental, because the quality of NIT will be much more visible and available out there in the market. A lot of local competition, which is very low cost but even lower quality, will now be threatened by NIT TV, and that is one of our concrete strategies. We want to make it difficult for them to operate, because NIT TV now is a serious competitor directly into the homes of the students who would otherwise be going to these centers. We also want to create a competitive move against the many e-learning companies, small ones that have started up in India, because we will be able to offer a much wider repertoire of courses. And most important, it's not just e-learning. We have live courses and we have on-demand courses and we have a whole plethora of additional learning services, making it a much, much richer platform than a typical startup e-learning organization.
All right, so I take that. That's it from my side. All the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Debashish Majumdar from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening to all of you, and congratulations for the very good set of numbers. So I have two, three part of question. So let me start with the corporate learning group. What I have noticed that one of your major competitor in US recently reported a slowdown in their revenue numbers, and there's a significant fall in their estimated numbers by the analyst there. So just wanted to get some sense, what is your take around your competition numbers, and what is the kind of visibility you are having there in the corporate learning group revenue there? And what is the constant currency growth you have reported in this quarter in the corporate learning group number?
Yeah, Sapnesh, you can answer this.
Sure. So there was a bunch of questions. If I don't answer all of them in sequence, pardon me. I think the first one was around general physics and their muted numbers for the first two quarters. I think if you dig deeper into those numbers, I think their outsourcing business, which is really where we compete with them, is growing at a reasonable pace. However, some of their energy business or the work that they do or engineering work that they do, which is project business with utilities, has slowed down. So from an overall perspective, I don't think there is a slowdown of any sort to be read in general physics numbers, nor would you see that from our numbers. I think that was your first question. What was the second question? constant currency, we grew by about 12%.
Okay. And my second question is around your SCG part of the business. Recently, you have reported an airport authority deal. And so just wanted to check, this is a kind of B2B shift that management was talking about for long. So what is the kind of B2B share of revenue we have in the SCG group currently?
Yeah, we currently don't report a split of the overall SCG business. But I can say that you are right in reading that we are giving higher priority to that business. Given that we have such a good business outside India, we should also be giving priority to large multinationals with a large base in India and Indian multinationals who have a large base in India but also operations overseas. So that is happening, and we are seeing good traction. While I'm not ready to report specific numbers, but the growth rate of this business is good. Airport Authority is just one of these contracts. Most of our contracts are in the multinational and in the private sector.
Okay, so one follow-up question here. Recently, we have seen that kind of Infosys and TCS kind of companies are spending millions of dollars in their training. So is there any deal we got from that part?
Yeah, I'd like to highlight that in our B2B business in India, we have already been doing training in IT for most of the IT services companies, if not all. But with StackRoot, we have an offering which is really exciting these companies because they have a major task on their hand. Over the next 12 to 24 months, a very large part of their workforce needs to be reskilled in a whole plethora of digital technologies. It's a complex task because the average age of the IT professional in these companies is not 22 anymore. It's now more like 35. And second, the range of technologies that they need to be trained on are large and quite different from the skill set that many of the people have today. So a company like NIIT with a presence all over India and with an offering like StackRoot is exactly what they've been looking for. So we're hoping to be able to gain mileage on this. The one thing that we are very clear about is we do not want to dilute quality because that is really what is appealed to all these companies. So the speed at which we may grow this business may be deliberately paced so that we are able to ensure that we do not dilute quality and gather a premium and then scale up as we go along.
Okay. So when you move to B2B for Indian individual learning business, is it any change in the receivable days cycle and the initial investment pattern?
Well, obviously, they are two different businesses. So our individual business, by definition, you get money up front or at least in installments in advance of delivering the service. While in the corporate business, you may get some advances, but there will also obviously be some parts of the payment delivered after the service, which is typical to a corporate business. What we are being very careful about is to focus only on companies that operate extremely professionally as multinationals. In any case, we aren't interested in medium-sized or small companies because the potential for us is insignificant compared to what we do internationally. So we don't anticipate DSO day problems, but yes, there's a different kind of business.
And what about the initial investment requirements?
This is a business where typically we're talking about faculty going into a customer location and delivering courses. So essentially the only cost base that you really have is either content development, which we have a lot of content available already, or faculty. And we adopt a model here which is highly variable, faculty-based. So investments, frankly, are not significant.
Okay. One last part question. What is the cost of developing the things like NIIT TV?
Very small, extremely small at this point of time.
That's because we are already having content with us?
Yes, we have the content, we have the faculty who are anyway delivering courses. So let me give you an example. A faculty in our existing model before NIIT TV was sitting in a studio somewhere in India, maybe Chennai, and conducting a Java course from a studio, and that was being beamed to about 100 centers or 300 centers all over India. That is already happening. What we have done is we have taken a feed out of that studio and put it onto NIIT TV. So now you sitting at home can watch that same course that was being delivered into an NIIT center. So therefore, the only cost additional to us is the cost of building that platform. And that is not really a very major cost at this stage. As we add functionality, obviously there will be more investments. But again, it's basically manpower investments in building a platform.
Okay. Thank you very much for answering my questions. Best of luck for the future.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KV Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
See, in case of school learning group, what is the way ahead? Are you planning to bring in a partner or something?
Yeah, I'll restate what we've said post our April 1 restructuring. We created a separate subsidiary, number one.
Right.
The intent in creating the separate subsidiary was specifically to make sure that the investments required to grow this business to its full potential will be possible to bring into this legal entity, which will obviously be by finding additional partners who will contribute to growing the business. Given that this is our third business and our overall investment capability, obviously the priority has been going to the corporate business and then to the SNP business. At this point of time, the first step that we have to do is we are bringing in highly professional leadership into this business. And I mentioned before, we spent the last 2-3 months screening and searching for an appropriate business leader. We are at the final stages of doing that. And I hope in the not-too-distant future, I'll be able to announce the joining of the business leader. We have been working in parallel on planning for this business, but obviously the new business leader will have to have his imprint on that plan. So as we go into our results for Q3, which will be sometime at the end of Jan, I hope to be able to share something a bit more specific. And I said the same thing in July, that it's when we are at the end of Q3, I'll be able to talk more about the school's business.
That's great. See, on the skill group, whatever, you have talked about trainings 1 crore people in 5 years or something. So I haven't seen anything, whatever you have said, on this issue.
Yeah. There are two important points over here. NIT is already in the skilling business. It's always been since 1981, and we've trained 35 million people in the last 34 years. So the number is already there, and with or without Skill India, we are in this space. What we have done in the last year is aligned all our courses so that they are NSQF or QP aligned, so that they align to the specifications of the various sector skills councils, so that they are the companies that are going to be recruiting people against those specs will find our courses also aligned. The second thing that we're doing is with NIT TV.
Okay.
To be able to reach the numbers that need to be trained, we felt that the traditional chalk and talk model will be almost impossible to scale up the numbers that need to be achieved. And that's why we are invested in NIT TV as one more reason. And today what we're seeing in NIT TV is we have people registering from all over India, many of them from small towns, villages, all kinds of places, which kind of reinforces that we are on the right track, though it's very early days. It's just 15 days since we launched. But through this, we'll be able to offer very low price point courses to a much wider audience. And that, I think, is much more fitting to what's required to be done to address the skilling problem.
Okay, but when do you think this will take off, this skilling with inputs from the NIT TV?
Well, number one, it has taken off as of 6th of October. I guess your question is, when will it start earning revenue?
Right. I was trying to get at.
Yeah, so at this point of time, our intent is to keep NIT TV free till we gain a certain volume in terms of registered users and we gain their respect and appreciation of the quality of the service that we have on the portal. And only after that am I willing to talk about monetization. So please do not bake any revenue growth in this from NIT TV.
Okay, fine. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of P. Sajdev from PNY. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on the great quarter. My question more on the macro side. Can we safely assume, you know, the NIT brand pull factor is coming back, what we saw in the 90s? because of the measures you know mentioned in the initial commentary and a few questions back?
Yeah, I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of the essence of the transformation that we're trying to achieve in the IT space. NIIT has always stood for being a pioneer in bringing out the latest and the newest stuff in the IT space before everybody else brought it out, right from 1981 onwards and every year. What we are trying to do now with StackRoot, with NIIT TV, and a whole other series of other initiatives that we have not yet talked about, to regain the primacy of position in the minds of IT professionals, serious IT professionals in the industry, as well as individuals who are serious about entering into the IT profession, as the only place or the most valuable or highest quality place to go to for IT training.
Great, thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dipen Shah from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think most questions have been answered, but just a couple of ones. Can we have some more insights into how scalable is this StackRoot business and in terms of, say, how can it scale over the next couple of quarters, whether we are looking at more cities to add courses? And what could be the, you know, per student fees, just to get an idea?
Yeah, so if you go on our StackRoot portal, you will see that our list price that we have for the first course was 2 lakhs. But this is for a course run at our center.
Yes.
Courses done for the corporate customers would typically be at their premises, so many of the fixed costs and the marketing costs would not be incurred, therefore the price points would be different. So if you take that, and our pilot batch is our current center, which we have in Bangalore, is 72-seater, and it's been oversubscribed for the first batch. So you get an idea of what the revenue would be for the first batch from that data. Now, what can we do going forward? With the kind of discussions that we have with the corporate customers, we are being pulled in into other cities because they need us to service them in pretty large numbers in multiple cities. Our challenge is we do not want to scale up faster than the quality can keep up with, faster than we can keep up with quality, because we want to make sure that this is a superior product and the feedback from this product is going to be always above the expectations of the customer.
Mm-hmm.
So we will obviously be spreading into other cities. We anticipate moving into at least 2 more cities in quarter 4 of this year.
Mm-hmm.
But then second scale-up is around the product portfolio. So the current course that we have is only one of the different full-stack areas. So it is called something called Mean Stack.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have an open-source stack. There's a security stack. There is a data sciences stack. So you can have multiple courses. So if you can look at multiplying locations as well as courses, that will give you some idea of the trajectory. Right now, I'm not prepared to give you a specific forecast in terms of how fast we want to grow.
Okay. Yeah, that helps. Okay. And on the other front, just wanted to know the bookkeeping question, the capacity utilization of the own centers in the current quarter. That was at, I think, 36%, if I'm not wrong.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And how much would it be in the same quarter of the last year? I don't have the number somehow.
I think it is substantially lower. We mentioned that we reduced the number of centers in quarter 4.
Yes.
So substantially lower in quarter 2 last year.
Okay. Righto. And just one final thing. The total contribution of the non-government schools to the schools business in this quarter?
Sorry, your voice broke off. Can you just repeat the question?
The proportion of revenues from the non-government schools to the SLS business in this quarter?
Yeah, 68% NGSA out of the total schools
okay.
business.
68%. Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ganesh Shetty, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir, and congratulations for a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, sir. Our recent initiatives like StackRoot and Airport Authority of India deal, will we be able to optimize our resources quite effectively so that we can protect our margins going ahead, sir?
Your voice was not very clear, but I think what I understood was that are these launches going to help us improve the margins of the skills and career business?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's my question, sir.
Yeah, definitely. So StackRoot, for example, by positioning this product as a premium product, obviously, along with that, the expectation is that it's a premium price product and therefore will give us margins. Second, because it is a product being offered not only B2C but also B2B, which is the corporate customers, obviously the ability to pay and the need for this course and therefore the margins that we can get on this course will be higher than traditional B2C business. The movement in the technology-delivered approach will obviously be one more thing that will help us improve margins, but that's something that may take a bit longer. So because that, as I said, we're going to be driving NIT TV as a free platform for some time.
Another
obvious thing is that through re-energizing and through the capacity utilization improvements that will come as a result of re-energizing, which you're already seeing because that's why we have come to a profitable performance in SNC in this quarter, we hope to keep driving the margins up further.
Yeah, so as we see that our corporate learning business is doing exceedingly well, and particularly MTS business, and you have also mentioned that there are a number of orders in pipeline, and also your experience in scaling up large managed services deal. Can you explain us that will we be able to be in a high growth path over the next 6 months of time?
Yeah.
In MTS period, in MTS deal, sir.
Yeah. In fact, one of the important things to be able to support growth is not just our ability to acquire customers. We believe we're actually doing quite well there. But we also need to make sure that our ability to service the customer at the same quality level that we're currently servicing all our MTS customers is paramount. As we grow a number of customers in the corporate sector, and they're all Fortune 1000 customers, we cannot afford to have one customer being really unhappy with us. So to be able to do this, our internal capacity creation is very important. So I'm glad to let you know that we've been able to look at how can we grow our capacity for our offshore CLG business delivery, and how do we deliver economies of scale while growing the capacity. So we have entered into an arrangement to purchase the existing campus where we have our corporate learning production delivery going on, so that we can increase the capacity. And this is a agreement to purchase with a staggered payment, and over a period of 3 years, we will become the owners of this facility. Currently, we are able to reduce the rent through the way the agreement is structured, and the interest costs are less than the rental amount that we've been able to save. So I think we made a pretty good deal in terms of being able to improve the ongoing economies of scale of delivery, and that should have some impact over time on the margins of this business too.
So my last question is, with our business, with state governments or central government organizations, recently in the last quarter we had a news media release that Telangana government is willing to have partnership with us, and there was no breakthrough, I think, after that. And looking at our experience in school business, government school business, where we had tough time collecting the receivables, how we can go ahead with such deals, in future, so that we can be asset light as well as we can be sure of our receivables. Sir, can you please give some highlights on this? Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, so I think as you rightly pointed out, given our experience with the government schools business, we are extremely selective about getting into any new government business. As you know, more than 53% of our business is corporate business with Fortune 1000 companies outside India. We have some B2B business in India. We also have about 10% of our business outside India in China and emerging markets. So 63% of our business has got nothing to do with government. Another 20-30% of our business in India is also got nothing to do with government. So government-focused business is going to be very selective. We want to be very sure that we have a cash-positive business if we take any government contracts. And that is a primary criteria for entering into any tender or any deal with the government. And all these deals are personally reviewed by me and the CFO of the company.
Thank you very much, sir. That's all. All the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Vatkar from iWealth Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on your good numbers.
So my first
of the question is on the schools and learning groups. By what period will you be phasing out from the government schools? And my second question relates to skills and careers groups. So with the current capacity, what can be your run per quarter run rate? And in that, are the revenues, non-IT revenues, that is your bankings and all that, and IT revenues, are they sustainable going on? And if it are not, what would be currently then seasonality in them?
Yeah. So let me first address the schools question. The government schools, as I just mentioned earlier, we have exited the contract at Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, or rather the contract got over as scheduled. We have three government contracts left, Maharashtra, Chhattisgarh, and Assam. Two of them, I think, finish in 2 years, and the last one finishes in about 2.5 years. Yeah, last one is in quarter two, FY19. Okay. As far as skills and careers is concerned, I didn't get the first part of your question, but let me answer the question about your, or maybe you can clarify your question again.
Well, my question is that what is the addressable revenue that you can get seeing your current capacity utilization?
Well, I would say that capacity utilization currently 36%, theoretical possibility of course is 100%, but that's not practically impossible. If we were to fill all our centers to a practical capacity utilization level, which could be about 70%, that gives you an idea of the total potential from our own centers, and the same would apply roughly to the business partner centers.
Okay, so for current that you have non-IT revenues, let's say about 42 crores. So going ahead, what could be the run rate ahead then, considering that you also added now stack route programs and all that?
Yeah, so StackRoute is a program being launched through a different platform. So we are deliberately not launching it through our existing centers, simply because we're trying to keep it very exclusive. Plus, from what I just mentioned, a lot of the StackRoute revenue is likely to happen from the corporate sector, which would actually get delivered inside the premises of these of their own offices. For the rest of the course portfolio, we are running them all through our existing own and business partner centers. And as I mentioned, there's a lot of space and capacity available to grow the business. So that's not a constraint. What we really have to look at, however, is the demand for each of the individual products in the portfolio. So we have a number of courses in IT, a number of courses in management, a number of courses in banking, and we're trying to add courses in other sectors, as I mentioned last quarter. So it's a portfolio approach, very much like a store, a chain of stores, where you have multiple products and you have to make sure that you're driving demand for the portfolio of products.
Okay, so then what would be your margins going ahead would be from this, your target margins we would have like to get there?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier on the call, we said this year we will be back to growth and back to profit for SNC. And right now, I'm only prepared to stick with that comment. Having said that, obviously the intent is while we scale and increase the capacity utilization, margin should go up over the next 2-3 years.
Okay. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
So this is another quarter behind us after our restructuring. I want to emphasize all the hard work that has been put in by the entire management team and the workforce of NIIT. Without that, all working together to the same plan, we would not have been able to achieve these numbers. Important thing is to have a very clear plan. And we have, and to execute on that, and we have, and the results have come as expected. We continue to focus on making sure that our plans for the future are as detailed, and we execute on them, and have no surprises on our numbers going forward. I'd like to hand back now to Vijay to give any closing comments.
Thank you. I hope we were in a position to answer all your questions. In case there are any unanswered questions, then you can, as usual, get through to Kapil Saurabh and he will coordinate either answering that question or having a one-on-one meeting as may be necessary. Thank you once again. I know it's a very busy season of results, and for you to have given your time to NIIT and for all your questions, which as usual are so educated that they give us new ideas. So we look forward to your continued cooperation, support, guidance, and goodwill. Thank you. Operator, you can close the call now.
Thank you very much, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.